Yeah, I guess our first session was really looking at who God was, really looking at who He is as Father, and looking at Him in that way. It was good. I thought it was good. And the second session is really talking about who we are because of who He is. You know, we're His children because Jesus paved the way, and we're adopted into His family. So if you want, we're just gonna turn to Mark 14 and we'll start from there. It's not a big reading. Okay, and I'm just gonna pick it up in verse 35. We got a bunch of scriptures this morning, so you know some of them you may wish to open up. Some are longer than others. Some are just there, but. If you're taking notes this morning, which I'd encourage you to do, then you know you can refer back to them later in your quiet times or something. But it says, Mark 14, 35, it says, going a little farther, and this is in Gethsemane when Jesus was there, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. And when Jesus said those words, Abba Father, that word Abba, with that one word, he changes everything. Jesus began a revolution with one word, and now he has invited us into that reality, into this place of belonging, to call God our daddy, our papa, our Abba. So let's pray. Yeah, Father, I just pray this morning as we continue to meet with you, as we continue to discover what it is to be your children, to be a child of God, to be a son or a daughter, Lord, that as we look at what it is to be adopted in your family, Lord, that you would just come and minister to us now. Just come, Holy Spirit, just come and be with us in this time, Lord. Just let us be willing to let you just change us. Speak right into our hearts, Lord. Just come. Thank you for what you're already doing in this place. We just pray for more. Yeah, amen. My hope at the end of this session is that we come to a greater understanding of who we are because of who He is. That the revelation of what it truly means to be a child of God. In Romans 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, Paul was speaking, the thing of your adoption to sonship. Paul was speaking into a culture where to be adopted into a family, you were given full rights. You were given full inheritance into that family. It wasn't like you came into a family and you were different because you were the adopted one, or you were the one that wasn't, you know, like, you know, born to the biological parents or whatever. You were the same. That word adoption in that place means that you were given the fullness of what it is to be a child, the fullness of what it is to be part of that family, full inheritance. And that's what we have. Adopted kids, you know, they were treated exactly the same as those that weren't. And Jesus paved the way so that we come into that place of full inheritance. And I guess I might repeat a couple of things that David said, but you know, we're not second class. There's no second class in God's family. Scripture doesn't teach us that Jesus is heir to all and we get a bit, but not as much as he gets. It says we're co-heirs. It says we're heirs with Christ. All that Jesus has access to, we have been given access to. Our position is next to Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness in us in Christ Jesus." It's a good verse, right? Yeah. This is yes.
Yes.
This is yeah. This is no. You know, there's a worship leader called Jonathan Helser who is just, you know, I just listened to a lot of his music recently and has really just been ministering to me and speaking a lot into me. So some of what I'm saying this morning comes out of that place. Some of the thoughts and the way God speaks sometimes to me is just through worship, and you can pick up on pretty much like Gerwin said actually earlier. You know, it's a line in a song that speaks to us, but it opens, like worship can almost like just allows God into the heart and just speaks to us in that place, and it just, you know, it opens up revelation from there. There's a song that he sings, and in it it says, "I've seen I am, now I know that I am loved. I've seen I am, now I know who I am. All it takes is one look into his eyes and everything changes." You know, let's just think for a moment about the pioneers that went before us. You know, we have Moses. Moses sees the I am in a bush on the back end of the wilderness and finds out who he really is. For 40 years, Moses ran from his destiny. And in a moment, he discovers what he was made to be. He leaves this encounter with love and frees a nation from 400 years of slavery. The same thing happens to Gideon. You know, he's hiding in fear from the enemies who are robbing his destiny. He sees the I am on the threshing floor, and in the next moment, he leaves his fears behind and leads a nation into freedom. You know, let's just think about the disciples after the crucifixion. You know, they've locked themselves in a room hiding in fear of the Jews. All of a sudden, the I am walks through the walls and they see perfect love standing before them and touch the scars in his hands and in his feet. The men who had fearfully locked themselves in that room came out and changed the world. The fears that once paralyzed them no longer held them down, because they found out who they really were and how much they were truly loved. You know, I think we live in a time when our generation is broken, where our generation is crying out for somebody to tell me, who am I meant to be? What am I supposed to be doing? What was I born to do? You know, they are wandering through the wilderness looking for love. I guess my dream is that we see a generation, we see our generation, we see the generation that stands before us encounter the eyes of love and find out who they truly are. That they encounter God in such a powerful way that it gives their life such purpose and meaning. And my prayer really is that's part of this morning. Is that, you know, as his children, as we grow in intimacy with the Lord, as we encounter him intimately, he changes our lives. He gives us purpose. You know, I've got time. Just share a story, just really from my kind of testimony, a little bit of mine. And I guess, you know, we encounter God in many ways. And last night, I know in Exalt and in worship, people were encountering the Lord. You know, it was just evident in the room, and we see that, you know, thankfully most Sunday mornings, I think, where whether it's in worship or whether it's in ministry, people are encountering the Lord, and he's ministering to us and he's changing us and he's shaping us and he's being filled up with his love and with his presence. And I guess for me, when I think about those times in my life, you know, I think about, you know, just for instance, when I was a lot younger than I am now, no kind of facial hair or or anything like that. And not even a, yeah, just sounded more like my mum than my dad at that time. and yeah, just we were in Toronto, and we were there in in sort of the time of the Toronto blessing in the mid 90s, and just coming to that worship, and that, never really like before in my life really encountered God in such a powerful way. I know I was only young, but there's no junior Holy Spirit, and it's all the same. And so I just in worship, in ministry, and just hit with the presence of God, and just just lying on the floor for what felt like hours, because the Lord was doing so much, and I have cherished those intimate times with the Lord, but I believe we're in a season where He's not going to make it about the once and the random times. Oh, that time a couple of years ago was really powerful, wasn't it? Like, I feel like we're in a season where God's on the increase, and so those times of encounter, those times of really being like blown away by His love, and just the power that is. That there's no greater power. It's my belief there's no greater power in the world, in the universe, than the love of God. Like, just think about that. Like the love that is all powerful, like God's love, but He chooses to penetrate our hearts with that love, like individually, and that love, like, changes lives, because it changes the world, because He changed the world with His love. And that, I mean, just think about the power of His love. Lord, we thank You for that. God, we thank You that Your love is so powerful, that Your love can just break any moment into goodness. That Your love is so strong that, Lord, anything we can fathom, whether it be an earthquake or a tornado or an atomic bomb, Your love is stronger than all of those a million times combined. It is Your love that will remain for eternity. And Lord, we just invite Your love into this room, into each of us now. All these guys that I just mentioned, Moses, Gideon, the disciples, like, they're in this place hiding in fear. Fear of being caught for something they did wrong. Fear because they felt inadequate, not worthy to be called anything. Or fear of what others might think who are around and about them. Fear of men. Fear of being rejected, associated with Jesus. Fear that, for being different. Yet when he walks into the room, that all faded. When He encountered them, when they had that encounter with the Lord, their fears disintegrated. Because, I believe that the love, just talking about, casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. But Jesus doesn't leave us in a place where we are, where with the disciples, say, like, they're in that room and they're in that frightened place, and they're there and they're thinking, like, what's going to happen to us? Like, our lives have changed. Like, we want to go out, but we're just frightened. We don't know what's happening in these days. And Jesus enters that room and all fear goes. But Jesus doesn't leave us in a place where we're just left. Yeah, haven't got the fear. That's good, that's great, but I'm going to stay in the room. He moves us out of the room. And that's really powerful, to say that He doesn't just, take us to a neutral place. He pushes us out of the room. Because you did not inherit a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of sonship. We were at a prayer meeting on the 16th of February, and I shared again from song, really what God has been speaking to me through the song through worship at the moment. And anyway, the lyrics are, "You've never given up on me." And it He never gives up on you. You know, and I really felt, and that's so true, and we got to know that he never gives up on us, that the plans he has for us, it's the plans he has for us, and that we all qualify for his plans and for his destiny, and each one of us has got an individual destiny, a personal one, like calling of God on our lives. You are called. But I felt the Lord turn it around to me this week, and it says, you know, and just as a child, you know, who really wants something and never gives up, you know, like the woman who goes to the angry ruler and goes back again, a debt again and again and again, and says, "Can you give me this? Can you give me this? Can you give me this?" And says, you know, he didn't even like really like care for God or for the ways, but he said, "You know what? You've been so persistent. You're driving me crazy. I'm just going to give it to you." You know, it's like that with children. Maybe you were a child once, and as you were a child, you asked for something from your parents. So not necessarily talking about birthdays and Christmases and, you know, but perhaps there was just, I mean, maybe that's the time when you got it, but, you know, you were crying out to your parents saying, "I'd really like a set of golf clubs. You know, I've seen Tiger Woods play on TV," or maybe if we're a bit older, Jack Nicklaus. If you don't know anything about golf, that's meaningless humour, but which I understand now, but there you go. You know, we I want a guitar, you know, like, "Oh, can I get a guitar? I want to be like my favourite, you know, musician that I see on TV or that I listen to CDs. I really want a guitar, I really want it." And I had that time where I was like, "Yeah, I really want a guitar." And I was like, I think I took lessons for about 6 months, never practiced. But I was like, at the time, you're just like, "I really want it. I just want it, don't I? I just want it. Mum, Dad, can I have a guitar? 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 You know, what do you want for breakfast? I don't know, but can I have a guitar?" Like, you know, and you're in that place. But there's something so important about being childlike in that, because, you know, I guess what does it tell me? It says, you know, is God looking for us to be in a place of real hunger, of desperation? Because I guess, you know, my story about guitar is maybe not a good one, because the reality was that maybe, you know, maybe I gave up too quickly. But, you know, I think there's an important point there about persistence and about persistently asking God and seeking God. And the Lord's really saying, "How much do you want me? How much of me do you want?" Like, he is desperate to pour out his spirit. You know, Scripture says he's looking where he can pour that out. And we have a choice. We can either just be like, "Oh yeah, that'd be nice," or, I really, "I can't move without you, God. I can't do it without you. I'm so hungry for your presence." And funny thing is, the more, you know, the more we spend in his presence, the hungrier we become. But there's a challenge there, isn't there? Are we going to cry out to God persistently in hunger to say, "God, Daddy, you, I know that you're a God that gives good things. Will you pour out your spirit? Will you just give me more of you? I want to encounter you." So the choice is, we can either be in our quiet times and be there and say, "I'm going to have a quiet time this morning and read my Bible. It's good. I'm going to listen to a couple of worship songs and, you know, drink my coffee." And that's good. That's good. That's fine. That's a good starting point. But, you know, the choice is, are we satisfied unless we encounter the Lord? You know, are we going to be satisfied with anything less than a life-changing encounter? I think sometimes, you know, we're busy and all that stuff, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, necessarily easy, but my encouragement is that in your quiet times, in those places, just wait on him. Just wait on him for a moment. Just wait on the Lord and just say, "Here I am, your kid, Dad, and I just want to hang out with you this morning, or tonight. I just want to spend time with you." You know, the Moravians never started eating. Moravians, if you don't know them, look up Count Zinzendorf, Wikipedia it. Bunch of good guy, phenomenal Christians in our history, changed history in Christianity. And the Moravians used to come together in grace, and they never used to eat until the Holy Spirit had turned up, until they'd got into a place where they were just manifesting, where it was evident that the Lord was with them, that the Lord was there. You know, they'd say grace and just wait on the Lord, because they knew that it was more important to be filled up with him than it is to be filled up with what's in front of you. Excuse me. Children are pure, aren't they? I love the fact that our kids are pure, and I don't think I've ever really been struck with that revelation as much as I was when, I've not got long left, which is all right because we're nearly at the end. Kids are pure, and I guess I've never really been struck with that moment and so much until when you're presented with my, with Noah, and you're in the hospital and he's in your arms and he's wrapped in white blankets, and it's just that overwhelming sense of that he's totally pure, like the world hasn't done that. He's not tarnished in any way. He's nothing but pure. And there was this, me and Helen were like, really, like in that time we'd talk and we'd say, it's really important what we watch on TV. It's really important what we allow into our houses. It's really important what we say out of our mouths, because we don't want to wreck that purity. And there's a challenge there for us to be pure and to be holy. And I haven't got, we're not going to teach on that this morning, but so much. But kids are pure, and that's good. But as Noah's grown up, I've started to realise that kids are more than just pure; they're completely fearless. Like he is the most daring ever. Like his basically level of faith in his dad is that he could climb onto the top of like the Eiffel Tower and like just be like there, ready to jump off. See me at the bottom, going, whoa. All right, he's got good eyesight, and like he would just jump, and he jumps off everything. Like it's his favourite thing is to climb onto something. He climbed, like this week, started climbing on the dining room table, and dancing around. But then he'll just look at you, and you just see that zeal in his eyes, and he's just knowing that he's gonna jump because it gives him that thrill and that excitement, and he knows that his dad's gonna or his mum's gonna catch him. And some of the times you don't even realise it, and you're tired, and you just get a baby land on your head. but it's amazing. He's fearless, and that's important, because what we read in Romans 8 is that we don't get that spirit of fear. We don't get a spirit of fear or timidity. We are not made to fear. We're made to be fearless, we're made to be his children, we're made to be his sons and his daughters. And that doesn't mean that we're just in a pure place. It doesn't mean that we're left in the room. It means that we're made with purpose and intent, that we get out of the room, that we go onto the streets fearlessly, proclaiming his word, bringing other people into our family fearlessly, because we know our place. We are so secure in our identity that we are his children, that we are his sons and his daughters, that we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. Amen? It was interesting, wasn't it? I guess just scripturally, the scripture that speaks to me about that is, and that, really come to about explaining that point is in, in Matthew 19 and there's other, in verse 13, and there's other scriptures in the New Testament where it talks about, that the children came to Jesus. They just came to him. And we know from the disciples' response that that wasn't the done thing to do. Culturally, that wasn't acceptable, but they came. They didn't care about what people thought. They didn't care about what culture said. They came to him and run to him and ran into his embrace anyway. That's what it is to be a kid. Have to come boldly. And I think important just to say, he looks at the heart. He looks at the heart, doesn't he? And he knows what is really going on and what we really desire and what we really want. And so there is a challenge there. Do we really want God more in our lives? Do we really want more of that? Are we really hungry? Only you and God know that. But I hope you are. I'm just going to finish before we... I really feel important this morning that we pray over this stuff this morning, that we just allow God's Spirit to move. But I'm just going to read a passage from Ephesians 5. It's verses 8 to 21. And then I'm going to invite the band up, and I'll just explain part of what the band's going to do, because it's in the scripture. And then I'm just going to invite God's Spirit, and then we're just going to go into ministry before lunch. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so it says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, then. You ready? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. This is my favourite bit. Live as children of light. Children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. That's so key that we find out what pleases him. The only way we do that is to have a relationship. The only way we do that is to hear his voice. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up. Just wake up. God, I just pray that we would wake up. That you wake up the church. And let you shine on us. And it says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. We've got to make the most of everything. Every opportunity to share him. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which ultimately means just, you know, selfishness and being self-centered, which is true, isn't it? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, that's good. Scripture. And, You know, I guess we have a... Yeah, you know, there's... I guess the place that we've come to in this, and I feel is right, we're in a place of ministry... Like, we're coming into a place of ministry and, you know, and weekends away, you know, God does real personal stuff. And this is a really safe place. This is like, you know, this is like cotton wool is all over the walls and the floor and the ceiling and it's his love. Because his love is tender and his love is kind. He loves us. So as we kind of set aside this time, just encourage you just to be free, just to receive from him, because he's longing to give an encounter with the eyes of love. And as we pray in a moment, you know, these guys are just, you know, there's that scripture in there that talks about speaking to each other in hymns and in psalms and in spiritual song. And part of that sets a precedent for how we should be. Like Paul's talking about how we should be with one another and how we should interact. And so part of that is just, you know, is that. isn't it? Is allowing the Spirit to flow out of us, allowing God's words to come to our lips, and allowing His song just to come in and invade us, and let it build up each of us, let it build up you. You know, I encourage you, there's a few key things that I know that the Lord wants to do this morning, and so I'll just read them out and then we'll pray into that. Like, if you feel like there's disappointment in you, that you've cried out to God again and again, and yet you haven't had those answers to your prayers, then He wants to love you this morning, and He wants to pray for you. And if you have got lies that you're just coming to mind that say, I'm not worthy of His love, or I'm not worthy of being His child, or why would He ever want me in His family? That He does so much, so much. And if there's those things of fear that hold us back, which is partly related to that, but if there's fear and you're like, I want to step out, I want to do more for Him, but I'm held back. Maybe because it's what my friends think at uni, or in my housemates, or maybe it's because of what I've been seen at work, I don't know. But if you want a greater boldness, then I encourage you to get prayer into that. So I guess those are those places that I'd invite ministry into, and really anything else. If you're just hungry this morning and you just want more of Him, then let's stand. Just come, Lord. You know, and I just encourage you in these times, like, just to receive. Just where you are, just receive. Just, you know, and you might want to close your eyes. You might want to kneel down. You might want to just have your hands out in front of you like you're receiving a gift. And we just say, come, Holy Spirit. We just say, come. We're so hungry. We're desperate for You. And God, I pray that You would just break off disappointment now in Jesus' name. I pray that You would be breaking fears right now in the name of Jesus. Let it come. Let Him come. Let Him come. More. Every tear He holds in His hands. Just come, Lord. Come. You're a good daddy. You're a good father. You know, if you for a moment want to look around, if you feel like you want to pray, if the Lord's leading you to pray for someone in this time, just pray for them. Pray, and just, you know, we say guys are guys and girls are girls. You know, you're all qualified to pray. And I just encourage you just to speak encouragement and just bless what the Lord's doing, and just say, come, Holy Spirit, and just pray for an infilling. So let's do it. You know, if you feel free to do that. If we all just want to receive for a moment, maybe it'd be good just to do that. Yeah, just feel free to pray. To minister to each other, just to pray for people. And if the Lord gives you a word, just give it. Just come.